totally situated ourselves. You are the thing. I think to all churches as well.
Morning. Today we are up to Yud Ches Elul. It's 18th of Elul. We're over halfway through the month. I thought to discuss a little bit ideas for Elul for the time of the year. Before we have to talk a little bit about Sukkah. It comes, I noticed in the advert around the notice board in town, Avinu Malkeinu coming to Manchester. So, Meister made me think, you know, Avinu Malkeinu is in Manchester already. You know, Kodesh Baruch is here the whole year round, especially as we approach Yom Kippur, Elul. A few interesting points, a few thoughts. First of all, we know Ani L'doidi V'doidi Li, Rosh HaTevah's Elul. It's important to be aware of the second half of this remnant, V'doidi Li. We all know that we try to mechazik ourselves. We have, so to speak, a responsibility in Elul on ourselves to try and improve ourselves and prepare for Yom Kippur. But it's also the opportunity in Elul. Not only the responsibility, it's also the opportunity. V'doidi Li means that HaKadosh Baruch himself is waiting and encouraging and there for us to be close to us. V'doidi Li means that HaKadosh Baruch has a special love to each member of Klal Yisrael. So we look at it and give an angle, the way of an opportunity to use, which is close to us, he wants to be close to us, makes a whole attitude different. There's a very thought-provoking Ramchal in Derech Hashem. Now, I don't think this particular piece is talking about Elul, Dafka, but of course it would apply, especially this time of the year. He says, Ha'adoin Baruch Hu, HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Meir Tomid Lemi Shiskarev Elov. HaKadosh Baruch doesn't have Kibyochel any mood, days and nights, term and benes manim. It's Meir Tomid Lemi Shiskarev Elov. HaKadosh Baruch is there 24/7 Meir, with a light, with a spiritual, ruchniistic light shining onto each member, each person in the world, each member of Klal Yisrael. Ve'ein menias toiv mitzidoi. Hashem never stops. There's no menias, there's no stopping. The oil of Hashem. Elo, says the Ramchal, ha-menia mitzad ha-mekabel. Ha-menia mitzad ha-mekabel. If there is any blockage on the light, any menia, anything stopping the light and the oil of Ruchni coming onto us, ha-menia mitzad ha-mekabel. That comes from us, from the mekabel. It's Derech Hashem, Chelek Aleph, Perek Dalet. So, there's no difference in the way HaKadosh Baruch Hu shines his light of Ruchnias, pours his Siyata Dishmaya onto us. That doesn't change the whole year round, whether it's Purim Tishba or Tish or Yom Neroyim. The difference is, when it says, Dirshu Hashem Behimotsoi, so Chazal say, especially Aseret Simei Teshuva, Hashem is close to us. There's no difference, Hashem not closer to us. Hashem is bringing us closer to Him. That means He's taking away the layers inside us, which prevent the oil from penetrating. The oil is there all the time. It's a whole different attitude, whole understanding. The oil is there all the time. Now Hashem makes it easier for us to come closer to Him in certain times. V'doi dili, Hashem is waiting and wants to be close and love each member of Klal Yisrael in His way. There's two thoughts which I like to think about during Elul, which, again, open up a whole new angle. Rabbeinu Yonah, we know, is well known, he wrote a number of Sfarim, he has a Pirush in Masechtas Brachos, Pirush in Masechtas Avos, and he wrote Shaarei Teshuva. We know Shaarei Teshuva goes very much into detail about how to do Teshuva. However, he also wrote some other Sfarim. Apparently, he wrote a Sefer called Shaarei Teshuva, which I've never seen, and there's a Sefer called Shaarei Avoida. Thin Sefer or Shaarei Avoida. Shaarei Avoida, as you can imagine, describes Avoida. The introduction of Rabbeinu Yonah writes is Darke Avoida, Avoida is Hatzvila. Yeah. Fine. The opening line is an amazing, amazing opening line of Rabbeinu Yonah, Sefer Shaarei Avoida. And it begins like this: Ha Pesach Horishoin Hu. The opening, the Pesach to Avoida Hashem. Now, if this was me, what would I write for Ha Pesach Horishin to Shaarei Avoida? Maybe perhaps you'd write Yerushalayim, sure, Yerushalayim has to come first. Or perhaps you'd write Limud HaTorah, of course. Limud HaTorah is the best, the most easy, the best way, the most important way to get close to Hashem. Shari Avodah. How does the Ben Yonah begin? Shari Avodah. He says, HaPesach HaRishon Hu, SheYeda HaIsh HaOved Erech Atzmoy. A person who wants to be an Oved, a person who's doing Avodah Hashem, SheYeda Erech Atzmoy, should know and should recognize his own value. This is an amazing point in Rabbi Yonah. A person wants to proceed in Avodah Hashem, wants to begin a Pesach Avodah Hashem, SheYeda Erech Atzmoy, should know his own value, his own skills, own abilities. VeYakim Ma'alosoy, he should recognize his abilities, his ma'alos. Or ma'alos avoyso, gulosom, machashibusom, v'chibosom, etzel haboyre yisbarach. So a person going through the avoyda of Elul, the avoyda of preparation of Yom HaMenorah, surely this would be the Pesach HaRishon. A person should look at himself and what he can do, what he can achieve in areas of Torah and Avoda, Yeda Erech Atzmoy, that's the beginning point where a person can then be mechazing himself to improve even further. That was one interesting Pesach to Elul. And the other one, also I find very, very interesting, is as follows. The Trumas Hadeshen of the Talmud, you would say it's called Leket Yoshe. It's quoted, I think, a fair enough number of times in the Bei Yosef, in Halacha, in our daily lives, how to go about daily lives. And Leket Yoshe discusses the following point. He's discussing Slichas, and he wants to know the first day of Slichas, when we begin Slichas. So he says, for example, if Rosh Hashanah would be on a Thursday, says the Leket Yosha, he says, Keshechol Rosh Hashanah b'yoyim hei, he says, really, tzrichin gimul yomim l'hachonah. Really, you need 3 days l'hachonah. I imagine, as a reference to Har Sinai, whether it was Shlishi Yimei Hagbalah, he says 3 days will be appropriate for hachonah. So he asks the question, so why do we begin Slichas on a Sunday? I understand Chazal want a certain number of days before Hashanah we should prepare ourselves to Slichas. So it should be a date, like any other date in the calendar. Hanukkah is Chofei Kislev, so Shichas should be, I don't know, Chofei Elul, or whatever, 3 days before Rosh Hashanah. Why does Slichas begin on a Sunday? So the Leket Yosha says as follows. It says, La'olam oimdin b'yoyim rishon. You always start on a Sunday. Mishum she'samach l'Shabbos. Naturally, that the advantage of Sunday is, it's connected to Shabbos. Now, what's so special, the connection between Slichas and Shabbos? So you can think of lots of ideas. Let's see what he says. So first he says, Noeg, nohag kol odom lilmoid b'shabbos v'chein hayom liyomov. He says, in those days, people during the week had very little time to learn, relatively, or very busy. Oysim, what they're doing day to day, Shabbos, plenty of time. So nohag kol odom lilmoid b'shabbos. Shabbos was more time to learn. Fine, so we have a connection now between Shabbos and Sunday. Shabbos, loads of time to learn. Isn't a good idea, you start Slichas on the day after learning. Now, if you start there, I would say, as we mentioned, learning Torah is surely the best way to get close to Hashem, to Avodas Hashem, to Teshuvah. Surely learning Torah is the best way. So Limud Torah and Slichas go together. That's what I would say. What does he say? He says, if you say Pnuim Melacha, there's time to learn. Lekach Toiv Lehaschil Miyom Elof, Miyom Elof. It's good to start Slichas on Sunday. Ki ha'om smechim machmas mitzvahs ha'Torah shalom dim Shabbos. He couldn't find a better way to explain, to describe Slichas beginning on a Sunday other than simcha. Ha'om smechim b'mitzvahs ha'Torah shalom dim Shabbos. Perhaps it's not the first thing which would be on our minds as the introduction to Slichas. The simcha of Yimei Slichas. And then he adds amazing words. V'gam machmas oynik Shabbos. You know what oynik Shabbos means? Oynik Shabbos means churuns. Oynik Shabbos means herring. Oynik Shabbos means a shluf. Besides, the simcha satir shalom dimu Shabbos. V'gam machmas oynik Shabbos. Slichas mit churuns. As we say to Leket Yosha. It's an amazing thing. A whole attitude to Elul Yom HaNeroim can change with this concept of the simcha of Yemei Slichas. Surely it is the most enjoyable thing. to have an opportunity, as you mentioned, Madoidi me, to have an opportunity to be close to Hashem. Hashem is encouraging, drawing us near to Him, waiting for us to come close to Him. Surely this is the most enjoyable thing, the biggest simple in the nefesh, in the neshama, the biggest simcha in the neshama. So simcha and joy, enjoyment, happiness is the way forward. Together with the Pesach HaRishon of Rabbeinu Yonah, Shigeda Erech Atzmoy, to look at your own skills and your own qualities, your own abilities. And we approach with a simcha, with an enjoyment, then we can move forward. We're ready, Yud Ches Elul, we can continue to enjoy each day of Elul as we get closer and closer, culminating in Simchas Torah. So general chizuk is unlimited, how a person can mechazik himself in lots of different areas. I want to, it's a nice thought, that the place to start is to do chizuk in things you're anyway doing. We all put tefillin on, we all wear talis, we all have some time, we learn Torah, we all do certain mitzvahs regularly, so why not do them properly? If you're already doing it, suspend 1 or 2 seconds before I'm thinking, you know, we pass in Chaim Simon Tzamach, we pass in mitzvah Sheikhas Kavona, so have Kavona before, etc. There's all these things we're doing anyway, do them better. I have to mention one area, which is Limud HaTorah, a thought about the approach and how to learn. It's something I've spoken about here once before, actually. The Gemara in Bracha says, when you learn Torah, the one being the Pasuk, it says, the Pasuk says, and the Pasuk continues, Yoim asher amadato lefnei Hashem alakecha b'choyrev. So the Gemara explains that Yoim asher amadato lefnei Hashem alakecha b'choyrev is of course Matan Torah, Ma'amad Har Sinai, and Vahidatom levonecha v'levnei vonecha, the first time our own learning. As the generations continue, levonecha, levnei vonecha, future generations, you open a Gemara, you learn, you teach your child, Elom with Chavosa, the learning reflects Ma'amad Har Sinai. Reflects Ma'amad Har Sinai. The Gemara that says, Ma'al halon be'eimo be'yiro be'eses v'zeo, afkan be'eimo be'yiro be'eses v'zeo. But the point is, when you learn, it's a reflection, a feeling of Ma'amad Har Sinai. And I saw brought down Meshem Rabbi Yochum, that as a moshul, it's like a thermos flask. You wake up in the morning, you fill your flask with coffee, and comes to lunch, 1, 2 o'clock, you open it up and it's steaming hot coffee. It's there for hours and hours sitting in the thermos flask. He says, the Gemara is like a thermos flask. He says, every time you open your Gemara, it's Ma'amad Har Sinai. It's like bottled up Ma'amad Har Sinai into, so to speak, into this flask. And you open the Gemara, and out comes the outpouring of the feeling, of the soyuz, and the emotions, and the chizuk of Ma'amad Har Sinai. I have a little question. It doesn't always happen to all of us that way. Not every time you open a Gemara do we feel the great excitement of Ma'amad Har Sinai. Imagine, I mean, Klal Yisrael in the desert, after coming out to Mitzrayim, after experiencing what all they had experienced, and they're standing with the thunder and the lightning, and Moshe Rabbeinu is calling them, and they sing Nasa V'Nishma. How can we bring our Gemaras closer to the thermos flask of Ma'amad Har Sinai? I'm sure there's lots of different angles, lots of different ways to say this, but let's focus on one point. There's always two ways you can learn. How much time you have to learn, whether it's 1 or 2 or 3 or 4 hours, how many hours you're learning, there's always two ways you can approach a piece of Gemara or a Mishnah or a Chumash. One is to get through the material. You've got to get to a certain point, let's get through this material and learn it. And the other is to try to go with a bit of Havana and a bit of Bikush. Where did Ma'amad Har Sinai begin? We know Moshe Rabbeinu, when he saw the burning snare, was by Har Sinai. That was pretty early on in the preparation stages of Matan Torah, Ma'amad Har Sinai. How did the incident with the snare begin? Moshe Rabbeinu saw the burning bush. So the Pasuk says, Vayoyimah, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Asuro no ve'ere, esamare hagod lazeh, madua lo yiva hasneh. Asuro no ve'ere. I will turn myself and I will come to see Hamare Hagod Razeh. And then it says, Vaya Hashem, Kisor Lewis. Hashem saw that Moshe Rabbeinu was interested to know more, was Mavakish. He looked to see Kisor Lewis. Surely an element of Ma'amad Har Sinai is the Bikush and the will and the Rotzen to know and to understand better. Vaya Hashem, He saw it. Hashem saw Moshe Rabbeinu wanted and was mavakesh to see more than the superficial, more than what meets the eye. So when you learn Torah, this would open up a whole different feeling of limud haTorah. When you have a certain amount of time to learn, rather than saying, I want to cover a certain amount of the Sefer, whether it's a Gemara, Mishnah, a Perek Mishnah, I want to learn this amount. Because you're naturally inclined to get through it. But it's slightly quicker. And the answer. Rather than say, I want to learn a certain amount, say to yourself, I want to learn a certain amount of time. So I have, let's say, an hour, or two, or three, or whatever it may be, the case may be. This hour I want to learn is now, whatever, 8 o'clock, 1 until 9 o'clock. Whether I learn this amount of the Gemara, or this number of Mishnahs, or that number of Mishnahs, I'm going to learn for this hour. That way you're automatically inclined to try to a little bit understand better the material being covered. And a person is mavakesh to ask himself in Havana, in understanding how this Gemara fits in with the Gemara before, how the Rashi fits in with the thesis, the Diuk and the Lashon, these types of ideas, then the Gemara comes to life. The mission of us says, Ma'be Bosa, Ma'be Riba, Ma'be Nechosim, Ma'be Da'oga. There's a few negative things at the beginning of the Mishnah. A person has too many Nechosim, it makes him worry, Ma'be Da'oga. Then the mission goes the opposite, the contrast, Ma'be Torah, Ma'be Chaim, Ma'be Yeshiva, Ma'be Chochem. So Rabbi Yehoshua says as follows, and Mishnah is an office. Ma'be Torah, Ma'be Chaim says that the Rabbi Yehoshua corresponds to the first half of the Mishnah, amongst other points, Ma'be Nechosim, Ma'be Da'oga. Daigus. Who wants to have daigus? Says the Rabbi Yehoshua says daigus is not a good thing. Ma'be Nechosim, Ma'be Da'oga. I saw recently a Rambam in Perishim Mishnah Sanhedrin talks about Yemoisim Mashiach. He said, the Rambam says, why will people live longer when Mashiach comes? So Rambam says, because no daigus. Daigus are not healthy. Says the Rabbi Yehoshua in others. Dagas nechosim mekatrus shenoisof makes the person live less. So he says, Dagas hatoira eino yochel lasis loira. Marbe toira, marbe rechaim is a reference to something called Dagas hatoira. What in the world is Dagas hatoira? What are you worried about? What are you worried about? Nab nechosim, I understand, you know. But marbe toira, where's the Dagas? Says the Bnei Yonah. Dagas too, daga gedoyla. It's a great daga, great worry. Kasha yechoshev b'halacha. He thinks about the Gemara, the learning. Ad yoyim al dovah diba alifanov till he's able to understand it well. It's a whole different attitude. You take a Gemara in a very positive way. Of course, daga not usually used in positive context. But when you turn it into a positive thing, you take a Gemara and you worry and you try to understand it. Not this well, you know. Finish the page. You're trying to be mavakash. You're worried about understanding it. Worried in a positive way. I mean, you concern yourself with understanding it. You're mavakash it. Surely it's a bring out the Mamad Hasina. And Kehelas, there's a pasuk, v'toyiv pei gedalov, pasuk zayin, v'umosuk ha'oyim, v'toyiv le'inayim, liroyis es ha'shemesh. Mosuk ha'oyim, oyim is mosuk, gishmak, sweet, mesikus. Mosuk ha'oyim. What oyim, which is mosuk? So Rashi says, mosuk ha'oyim, who oyim shal Torah, refers to the light of learning Torah. So he says, toyiv le'inayim, liroyis es ha'shemesh, Rashi, ashrehem, Talmidim she'enehem royim halacha melubenes umuchveres al boireho. If you see something clear, some clarity of understanding, then umosukah. So to conclude this point, we see about Dagas HaTorah, we see Vayah Hashem ki sol lirois. Whenever a person is learning, be it Chumash Mishnayos, Gemara, whatever you're learning, especially with Limud Gemara, Mosuk ha'oyim, the sweetness and the mesikus of learning the Torah will come out. If it's halacha melubenes, if it's a clarity of understanding and of bina and of understanding and bikush to understand as much as we can the subject matter being learned. So we take this forward with us. We're ready up to Yud Ches Elul. So we have plenty of time still to continue to think about our future, think about our Yom Hadin. We take forward V'doy Dili. The fact that Hashem is himself interested, kiviyochel, in being close to us. We take the Yaki Ha'odom Erech Atzmoy, a person looks at his own milas and his own koiches. We look at the simcha, of course, the simcha of mitzvah, limud Torah, and also Eidik Shabbos, but simcha, the enjoyment of Yimei Aslichas, the enjoyment of Elul, Yom HaNeroim. And looking at limud Torah, if we try to make our interest in Bikush in limud Torah, the however number of hours we have to learn, to use them not just to cover ground, to reach the bus stop, to reach the train station at the end, but rather to try to be kind a little bit, the sugyas which we have, the sugyas which we are learning to understand, to go over the sugyas and to be kind of the sugya, surely then we'll reach Umasuk Ha'or. Umasuk Ha'or. The Rashi says, Ashreim Talmidim, he doesn't talk about the Gedolei HaTorah on the Rabbanim. He said, Ashreim Talmidim, every Yid. This is talking to every Yid. And every Yid will know Ashreim Talmidim, Masuk Ha'or, the Gishmak and the feeling of learning Torah in an enjoyable way will come much closer with the Bikush. I think that generally speaking, the start your day the Torah way is an amazing, amazing venture, which is such amazing zechus for all those who are involved. What seems to happen is that every day people are coming to learn 40, 45 minutes at least. But every day it's random topics. Today I'm going to talk about sukkah. Tomorrow someone got mezuzah. Yesterday perhaps we're talking about Shabbos, which is amazing. It's a great sechizah, it's gavaltik. But perhaps in addition, something could be done about doing something more consistent. Take a gemara and learn the first sugya and the next sugya and the next sugya and build up limud gemara in a consistent way where you'd be surprised at 45 minutes a day how much you can actually learn with understanding and with bikush and with chazor in addition to the chizuk of the Torah way. Perhaps something to think about. Since Lemaisa we are already less than 30 days before Sukkos, Halacha and Shulchan Aruch and Gemara, Shloshim Yoyim, Kodem Achag. So, what better way do we have to prepare for Sukkos than to talk a little bit about Sukkah, Daf, Beis, Amud Aleph? Some small one or two points I'd like to discuss. First Mishnah, we all know, says, Chamosa Merubba Mitzilosa. It's Psula. A schach has to be, it cannot be Chamosa Merubba Mitzilosa, where the air spaces and the sunlight is roif more than the schach, more than the tzil. So the Gemara and Dafchav Beis, much later on in the Masechta, makes a duke. Chamosa Merubba Mitzilosa is possible. Ha'aki Hadodi is okay. If it's 50-50, Porot's Ka'imid, 50% schach and 50% sunlight, it's kosher. That's what the Gemara said. Now there's a great machlokes rishonim. Seems to be a major tzav against all the other rishonim. So there's Rashi, the Rambam, the Rif, the Ritva, all the rishonim are cholik on the major tzav. Tosfos brings him down as well. What does the major tzav say? The Shaila says, the Gemara says that 50-50 is okay. Schach, which is 50% sail, shade, and 50% sunlight, airspace, is kosher. So Rashi and Rav rishonim say the following observation. Based on the Gemara, based on the words of the Gemara. In fact, if you have schach and you have exactly 50% schach covering and 50% airspace, if you're sitting down there in the sukkah, you will not have 50% tzil. You'll have far less. Because the matzias is that sunlight tends to spread. So even a smaller hole higher up in the ceiling area, when the sunlight goes through it and reaches the floor, it'll be wider. It spreads. So most Rishonim say that such a sukkah would be possible. If your schach is 50-50, although technically the Gemara says Parot's Ka'imid is okay, it's called a mechitza, however, it's no good because on the floor space of the sukkah, you don't have roiv zit. On the contrary, you have roiv chamor, you have roiv air, roiv sunlight. In fact, you can sunbathe in your sukkah because roiv is chamor. So it's no good. However, Rabbeinu Tam, it says kosher. So we have a very fundamental machlekes, a yisodetik machlekes, understanding what is schach. Rabbeinu Tam takes it simple. Look at the schach. Why look at the floor of the sukkah? Look at the schach itself. The schach itself has to be made with a certain makeup. It has to be, as we know, it has to be branches and leaves, not makabal tumma. It has to be pesedas going beyokev. It's halacha how to make schach. And schach must be the right shear. The shear is, says the Gemara, 50-50. It's fine. 50% schach. Chamosa, Tzilosa, okay, I don't, it's fine. In the sukkah, you'll end up with very little shade. That doesn't matter. Rabbeinu Tam says, we're not looking at the practical result of what the schach is producing. We're not looking at the tzitzah, the schach produces sail in the sukkah. No, don't seem to be interested in that. As long as you have schach, which technically fits in the criteria Chazal laid down for Sechach, then it's Sechach. So 50-50 Shei Tzan in the Sechach is fine. That's the Bein Tzan. All the Shein Mechaylik, they say no, everyone above the actual maker of the actual Sechach, we surely we need sail in the Sukkah. The Sukkah, Tia, the sail. The Sukkah has to be practically a place of shade. That's the most you should hold. But it would seem we're being time to hold that in the Nishah. So you don't need sail in the Sukkah. As long as you fulfill what Chazal wants you to do, the Torah wants you to do, and what Sechach is, that's Kosh. That's what it would seem a Bein Tam holds. There's one or two points to make a Bein Tam a little clearer. As we said, L'choy, it would seem that you just look at the Sechach, and the Sechach is kosher, you don't worry about the Sukkah. So the Rishonim asked the following question. We know in many areas in the Shas, the principle of Lovot, an airspace less than three Tzvachim, is ignored. For example, you have a Mechitza. Let's say for Shabbos, a Mechitza with Shosa Yochid, a fence, a wall, and there's spaces in the Mechitza. Any space less than three Tzvachim is ignored. So a railing, such as the one which is around the park, railings, which is mostly open, but little thin metal strips, and in between is airspace. That's no problem for a mechitza. Lovut. Lovut tells you, fill in, imaginary, fill in the airspace, fill in the gaps. And Lovut tells you that's called a mechitza. So with schach, it's not the case. If you have schach, and you have lots of air gaps, I'm not talking about 50-50 now, I'm talking about, let's say, 80% of it was air gaps. But all the air spaces are less than three tzvachim. It's definitely possible. So let's understand why is it possible. If you have schach, which is made up of air gaps, spaces, and the spaces are less than three tzvachim, what's the problem? If you learn that most Rishonim, like Shitas Rashi, we understand this well. It's very nice, Lovod, but Lovod doesn't stop the sun. Lovod doesn't help you in Metzius, stopping the sun. Lovod means in Lomdos, Halacha, we treat the airspace as if it was filled and it's not a gap. Oh, but Lovod doesn't make sail. So Moses showing him hold that you've got to have sail in the sukkah. You've got to have in the floor space of the sukkah. When you're sitting at your sukkah table, you've got to be in the shade. So of course, Lovod won't help you to make sail. Then I understand why such a sukkah would be possible. According to Beit Tam, it would seem they don't require to have sail. But Beit Tam held, and I have schach, which is 50-50. And then on the floor space of the sukkah, it's perhaps the sun gets wider and it's very, very sunny. There's no problem. Why? Doesn't seem to need sail. All you need is schach. So if you need technical schach, it's very similar to a mechitza. The same as a mechitza, which is a vertical mechitza, can do the job with lovut, so too the horizontal mechitza, the roof of the sukkah, which is made of schach. Why can't you use lovut? This kasha, the Rosh asked the question, and the Tzitzit, they both asked this question on the radio time. Why can't I use lovut to make up schach on the S basis, and that should be kosher schach? So to answer this question, incidentally, we see from the question how the Rosh and the Tzitzit understood the Shifra Beinu Tam, like we described. However, in order to answer the question, let's try and understand the Beinu Tam himself. Is the Beinu Tam perhaps meant something different? Of course, he agrees, Schach needs to be Tzel, made so, needs to make shade. He agrees to the concept, Sukkah, Schach is Tzel. However, the shade is not required in the floor space of the sukkah. So you have an imagine just below the schach, imagine an inch or two below the schach, that airspace, is it protected? That's the way Tam looks at it. Yes, the schach does need to provide protection. Technically speaking, that's what schach is. It's schach which makes sail. But you don't need to have practical sail which results in shade on the floor space of the sukkah. How to win it down? You need to have schach which makes sail. Where it is? Bim koimoy, b'mokem haschach. And that will be the machlokes. According to Rashi and most Rishonim, where is the sail? What does the schach have to do? The schach must achieve sail in the sukkah. So if you're sitting at your table in the sukkah, you have to have sail. That's the words of most Rishonim. The Beit Tam disagrees. He said, you can have sit in the sukkah and be sunshine, it's no problem. As long as the schach is made up of the right material and it's at least 50-50. But you do need to have the schach providing sail in the space just below the schach. The schach is sail. In theory, it provides sail. Just not down here, provides sail up there. But Beit Tam, of course, agrees that the concept schach makes sail, just not in the floor space of the sukkah. It creates sail just above there. That's a whole new way of looking at of schach and looking at Beit Tam. The second point, again, with Beit Tam, is the following. First sugya, Masechta Sukkah, almost the first sugya. 20 amas, Sukkah's kasha up to and including 20 amas. Machlekes Tanakama, Rabbi Yehuda passed the Tanakama. Higher than 20 amas, Sukkah's possible. What's the reason for this? Well, there's three, possibly four reasons why Sukkah is possible, Schach, in higher than 20 amas. First one, is the Rabbi, I think. And Rabbi says, because the man gedu to yisechem, a person, the sukkah has to be made in a way which a normal day-to-day usage of sukkahs, a person would tend to notice the schach. Doesn't mean you mechoyt to look at the schach, but the sukkah has to be made in a way where it's positioned where you would notice it. Such as that chesed like, compares to chanukah menorah, which also mustn't be higher than 20 amos because one notices the menorah because it's so minister. So too, schach must be in a position where it's noticeable. The man gedu, according to this Rabbi. The word the man yedu isn't a reference to the reason for the mitzvah of sukkah, it's a reference to the structure of the sukkah. Basukkah is teishu shivas yomim the man yedu. You have to a leman yedu to a sukkah. A sukkah which is leman yedu, a sukkah which will lend itself to noticing the sukkah. That's the Rabbah's reason. The third reason the Gemara is Rava, says a different reason because it's divas keva. He said it'll have to be the supports for such a tall sukkah over 20 amos are going to have to be. By default, they're going to have to be strong. Chita Shabbat, they're going to have to be very strong. It's too keva. We pass it. He said, the mandoma, sukkah has to be dior's arak. So we don't want to have a sukkah which inevitably is going to have to be keva, the support of the schach. That'll be too strong and too large. That's the Ravashita. What does Abzeira say? Abzeira says, the reason why schach must be 20 amos and below is because of tzeil. The sukkah, tia, the tzeil. Says the Gemara, that if your sechach is higher than 20 amos, you won't feel shade from the sechach. What is shade? Hashem Shach Nigmar is literally the shade of the sechach won't reach. Okay, of course, you can question the Ritual's question about the angle of the sun. Yeah, depends on the time of the year, etc. Okay, but that's what the Gemara says. You don't feel the tzeil, the shade of the sechach from 21 amos down here. You won't feel it, and that's why the Torah says 21 amos the sukkah is possible. And of course. We have to understand how does this work according to the Bein Tam. According to the Bein Tam, we explained you can have schach, which is 50-50. And even though down below on the floor it's mostly sun, because the sun widens, and it's sitting on the by a sukkah table, and it's sun. And that's okay. Why is it okay? Because the Bein Tam seems to hold you only need sail at the mochim schach. As long as in the mochim, where the schach is, the sail, that's okay, it's kosher. So how can we say if the schach is so high, 21 amos, higher than 20 amos, it's possible because there's no tzeil on the floor of the sukkah? Why are we bothered by the lack of tzeil on the floor of the sukkah? Surely we don't need tzeil on the floor of the sukkah according to the Midrash. So how does the Midrash fit with this man dominant more? Very difficult to say the Midrash wasn't talking according to Rav Zeira. It's only fitting with Rabba and with Rabba, not with Rav Zeira. That's very shrewd. It's time going to Gemara. So here's a very interesting thing over here. The Ran asked a question on this Gemara, and he says, I don't really understand anymore. He said 19.5 amos, or even 20, which is kosher, up to 20 is kosher, right? You feel the sail. Once you've got a small sukkah, the smallest size sukkah, Zayn Tochim, just enough for you to sit there, Rosh Yom, Ruvah, Shohanah, small sukkah. And you've got 19, higher than the building, 19.5 amos. Your schach is up there, it's more little square of schach. Fade around, you're going to feel the sail from the schach. So what's this sail? What's happening over here? Where's the sail from the schach down on the floor? I mean, obviously what's happening is that the walls are providing the shade in such a case. Imagine you have a chuppah without any walls, you wouldn't feel any sail. So how can Chazal say up to 20 amos you're feeling sail? Says the Ran. He says, Kimlu and Rabbanu, Chazal are telling us the facts from a scientific matiz. Afilu, even a high sukkah, he says, it's memayit choyim hachama lefi lemishu yoshev tachteho. That's interesting. We see from Iran that tzeil incorporates two points. One is the light shade from the light of the sun, and one is the choyim, the warmth of the sun. And Iran seems to imply that although 19.5 amos, you don't get much, any, mashma from Iran, any tzeil as far as protection from the light of the sun is concerned, but it does help memayit choyim hachama. The temperature, the warmth of the sun's rays is somewhat minimized, even if the sukkah is very high. So scientifically, it's very interesting, right? It does help you for the temperature, but besides that, we see from Iran, mamait, a little bit, the sale of cheese is already enough. So we see from Iran a concept that when we talk about the schach achieving sale in the sukkah, it may not have to be necessarily the whole sale of sukkah, everything in the sukkah. Let's translate that back into a minute time. The Iran isn't going to be in a minute time. That's not the shmuz. But let's go back into a minute time now. According to the minute time, we explain, it's established, you can sit in the sukkah, you don't need sale from the schach, but epesia. Epesia, there's some concept of a mixer sale, a concept of something the schach is achieving in the sukkah. So if established now, even though according to Ben Tam, it would seem you look at the schach for itself and not at what is achieving in the floor of the sukkah, but epes, mixed as sale, it has to achieve on the floor as well. Such as mamait, choyim, hachama, the temperature aspects, when it cools it down a little bit. So in summary, Ben Tam, we've seen three things. Number one, poros, koimim, 50-50 is kosher. According to Ben Tam, you don't look at the floor 50-50, you look at the schach 50-50. The floor, the sun that will spread, that's kosher, because you're looking at the schach. However, number two, we said, even though you are looking at the schach, the name sale, the criteria sale is important. It has to be a schach which can provide sale, at least to the area immediately underneath it. And number three, even after all that, practically there has to be some level of sale in the sukkah. Soch rabba and soch simetay.
Ja, die Entscheidung, ja, die ist der Rabbi, die 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 R